It's Bob and Marna.
The other one I made. Hello.
Good morning.
I had a fiddle with this thing.
Pictures. That should be in the soap making one.
This one?
Yeah.
This one's for camping.
Okay.
Okay.
The phone number going up was 942-7015.
Check this grandma a moment that, oh no, there's things that are going on. Okay.
If you find it, otherwise I've got extra, so send somebody up for it. Okay? I think that might help.
Good morning. We are about at that time, so we're going to go ahead and get started. We have a couple brief technical notes. One is that Zoom has updated their service. So we have good closed captioning available all the time for nothing. So if you have trouble understanding when we're speaking, because it really does not closed caption singing well at all, that little button down at the bottom of the tray that has a CC on it. If you click that and show the captions, you should get closed captioning across the bottom of the screen. And then in your settings, you can make that font bigger in the Zoom settings. But that is now available, preferably without the feedback we had the couple times we tried it this fall. And should closed caption everybody who's on the Zoom meeting. So it should get prayer requests, it should get the liturgist, it should get all of those things for the meeting. That's the brief technical. We've updated the computer here. So if sound levels are a little off, please note that and send me an email over the next couple days to let me know. But I think we've got everything matched up with sound levels. For that, this is your reminder that we are at the point where you have one more week to get your annual report into Lee. Next Sunday is the deadline, so please do that. Annual meeting is on February 21st. We are hoping to have the digital copies of the annual report out to you on the 14th. We are getting ready to head into Lent. I know that is hard to believe on many levels. Ash Wednesday is February the 17th. This is going to be a mixture of what we have done in the past and some new things. So because we won't have our Shrove Sunday meal, Susie and I believe Gayla are conspiring together to create take-home bags for Lenten practice at home. So we'll have those. We'll have the service for Ash Wednesday in those bags as well. So that they will go out if you would like to have it at home. But we're also going to offer for you to come in into the sanctuary and go at the slow pace that we've done in the past and have imposition of ashes here. I'll be going through some Q-tips to get that done, but we'll make it happen. And so on Ash Wednesday, that will occur from 4 to 7. Just watch your bulletin announcements for more on that. Susie is working on getting us another blood drive scheduled. So please do watch for the dates and the information about that as it comes up, if you are able and willing to give blood. We have a handful of things coming up. The main thing is to get us into Lent, and then we will see what happens after that, as we always do. If you come by the church, and it's sunnier than it is today, and you are on the south side by near that vinyl fence, you may need your sunglasses. Bill has gotten virtually all of the mold off of it. If there's some, I can't see it, but you can thank Bill for that and for cleaning up the back 40. Apparently, Bill is really bored at home by himself during quarantine and pandemic. And so he just has all this stuff he feels the need to get done at the church, and we're just taking advantage of it left and right. So make sure you thank Bill for being bored at home and being constructive at church. Do we have other announcements this morning? Bill's got one.
If you have a key to the church, would you send me an email or a text or something? Just let me know. I'm trying to get a list of who's got keys. And if you don't have one, you think you should have one, just let me know that, okay? Thank you.
All right. Your key holder, let Bill know that you're a key holder. I think that's most of us on some level, but okay. Are there other announcements this morning? Then let us worship God.
See it.
Please join me in the call to worship. Fill us full every morning with your faithful love,
so we can rejoice and celebrate our whole life long.
Let your acts be seen by your servants.
Let your glory be seen by their children.
Let the kindness of the Lord our God be over us. Make the work of our hands last.
Make the work of our hands last.
Amen. Hymn of Praise is number 170, You Walk Along Our Shoreline.
Thank you.
Join me in the call to confession. We are a people born of water and the Spirit. We have made promises to be Christ's faithful disciples and to show his love to our life's end. Although we fail to fulfill those baptismal vows, God's faithful love endures forever. Confident of God's grace, let us confess our sin and the sin of this world. We are overly impressed with the work of our hands, O God, and we do not pay attention to the work of your hands. Our focus on our work means that we do not listen to your word. Draw us back to the shore.
Draw us back to the water.
Wash us clean and call us again to have our lives filled to the brim.
We declare with Peter that we are sinners, yet you do not leave us, calling us to follow you into your world.
Because we were buried with Christ in these waters, we are also raised to life with him. Believe the gospel.
In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Gayla has a minute for mission for us this morning.
Good morning. Can everyone hear me okay? Yeah. We are in the middle of our Super Bowl food drive. Through February 7th, we're collecting canned goods and donations for our Blessing Box and Marian Ministerial Alliance. It's an annual event that we've been supporting for 20 years. Now, I know you're thinking we've been supporting MMAs for longer than that, but that's true. But supporting Marian Ministerial Alliance is no longer enough, and we've been shown that firsthand. Ron and our children built a blessing box, and we put it out front. I don't know how many of you thought much about it. It's a nice thing. The box looks great, and we'll put some food in it. Did any of us expect what would happen? I didn't. We can't keep it empty again. And here's why. Marian demographics have changed. The population has grown younger, believe it or not. The median household income has decreased. The poverty rate is now slightly below 20%, and I mean slightly, 19.7. With the latest statistics from 2018, the largest demographic of that below poverty is children between the ages of 6 and 11. I believe that in our current times, that poverty rate is probably higher. Marian Ministerial Alliance can't keep up. So many people need help, not because they're lazy and want a handout, but they are struggling and they need a hand up. We've been led to this mission over and over again. The need is now, literally, right in our face and right in our own front yard. So we are in the process of setting up a system to ensure that the blessing box is full, to track the need, to grow the mission. Please support this food drive and the upcoming work of making our blessing box a consistent, maintained mission. On February 7th, we will talk about our process and plans of how we're going to do just that. Everyone can have a role. It's not all about having the means to donate. It's about having the heart to do the work to sustain. There are many things that we cannot change about the world today. Feeding our literal neighbor is not one of those things. We can make a difference here. And I really believe that God is showing us what to do. So let's do it. Amen.
To tack on to that, I happen to know that we had fresh stuff put in the box yesterday. And that Friday, the box had a good amount of stuff in it. When we drove in this morning, the door was open and it was empty. So we've done a little bit of restocking of some instant oatmeal and some things like that, but this is a need that is not vanishing. So as we move to figure out how we meet this need, know that it is a need for us to meet. That brings us to our first lesson. We are in Luke chapter 5. What we have missed between last week and this week in Luke's gospel is a couple of healings, some of which are important to the story this week. Jesus heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law, and that's going to become important when Jesus needs to borrow his boat partway through chapter 5. So know that the Jesus who comes to the seashore to meet Simon Peter and James and John and this crowd is one who has attracted many through healings and is one who is known to Simon Peter and to Andrew and to James and John. Once while Jesus was standing beside the Lake of Gennesaret and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Smiling, I smile.
right. Well, we didn't get to see you sing, but we heard you sing. We're going to pull to the second half of our lesson now. When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right, so I say this a lot, but there's a lot going on in this passage, and I think that's one of the things that we need to reconcile ourselves to in the study of Scripture, is that there is always more going on than we initially see. At this point, I know I have preached on this passage at least twice while I've been your pastor, because Chris and Wendy Evans called me on having the same sermon title on the sign multiple times about fishing on the other side of the boat. So I know that at least Chris and Wendy have heard this passage preached and remembered it. But it's got that catchphrase about making you fish for people, fishers of men. This is a story that we sort of remember. It is the calling of the disciples. And I think one of our dangers is that we put it into that box too easily and we just let it stay there. So here we are. Jesus, just last week, start of chapter 4, was run out of his hometown and almost thrown off a cliff. He travels then back to Caesarea, and he starts doing teaching and healing. He has several healings, including Simon's mother-in-law, and crowds are beginning to follow him. So on this day, he goes to the Lake of Gennesaret, and the crowds kind of push in, and I have this sense that he's kind of backed up against the edge of the lake, and he's wondering if he's going to be able to keep his balance or if he's going to get pushed back into the lake. So he takes a boat. Now, that is not normally something we would encourage, is it? "Hi, I'm running out of space. Let me borrow your boat." I mean, Dan Seelock is that generous with his boats, but most people are not. If you went down to Max Marina and just took a boat, it probably would not end well for you. So here it's really important that we remember that he has a relationship with Simon Peter about healing Simon's mother-in-law. Depending on the relationship between Simon and his mother-in-law, that may have been a good thing or a less than good thing, but Scripture doesn't tell us that. So Jesus pushes off in the boat, and of course, probably Simon and his brother Andrew push off with him, and Jesus teaches from the boat. When either the lecture or the sermon or whatever we're calling this episode is over, Jesus looks at Simon and says, "Let's go out a little further and let's cast your nets out." And Simon, you have to understand, we could have a variety of tones in Simon's response. He knows Jesus is the one who healed his mother-in-law. He may be ready to believe anything Jesus says. He has also spent all night on the lake and has nothing to show for it. And now he's sat there for this lecture, this sermon, and he still has nothing to show for it. He may be exhausted and exasperated and tired. So this could be anything from a well faithfully uttered, "Lord, we've been here all night. I'm tired, but you're the Lord. We'll give it a shot." Or it could be, "Hey, Rabbi, I do this for a living. I've been here all night and I ain't caught anything. What do you think you got to tell me where the fish are?" I'll let you decide in your heads which one Simon is today. Now, they throw the nets over the side and they get a lot of fish. they get so many fish that it's going to swamp their boat. So they call James and John, the sons of Zebedee, over in their boat, and it's enough to almost swamp both boats. And so then they come in. Simon falls to his knees, echoing Isaiah, says, "Lord, get away from me. I'm a sinful man." They come into the shore, and Jesus says that they will follow, if they follow him, they will fish for people, and they drop everything and follow him. Now, normally we focus on that calling, come with me and I will make you fish for people, and the immediacy, the unquestioning response of Andrew, Peter, James, and John to follow Jesus. I'm going to flip the script just a little bit today, because Simon's words to Jesus really struck me this week as something that it feels like happens a lot to us, that we stand there and we look at Jesus and we go, you know, I've been working really hard here and I don't have anything to show for it. How many of you have ever felt like you've been working really hard here and you don't have anything to show for it? Doesn't have to be at church. It can be at work. It can be at play. It can be at song. You're trying to start a new thing and you work really hard and you work really hard and you work really hard and there is nothing to show for it. When Lori and I were in seminary, we did an internship at this little church south of Atlanta. And when I say south of Atlanta, I mean about 15 minutes, about 6 miles. Completely grown up area, lots of subdivisions, lots of houses. They had miraculously managed to stay 35 members. There's a reason for that. So they hired, yeah, I'm still not sure where they got the money for this. They hired Lori and I to be their Christian education department. Lori was going to do kids, I was going to do adults. I think you can see why that happened. And Lori prepared every week. And for the first 7 weeks, had zero kids show up. And I got to tell you, it was not fun going home with her on Sunday afternoons. The first week was kind of like, okay, next week they'll be back. They forgot we started this week. They'll be back. They'll be here next week. They've told me they'll bring their grandkids. We'll have kids next week. The next week. Well, you know, the grandparents weren't here either. So, of course, if the grandparents aren't here, then the grandkids won't be here. About week three, that optimism faded. And it started to be, why am I spending hours getting ready for nothing to happen? And I think that's a piece of what's going on with Peter that we can relate to, is that we pour our energy, our sweat, blood, and tears into things, and we don't always get the results that we want. Here I'm going to be more charitable to Peter than to us, which doesn't always happen. Peter isn't quite sure who Jesus is. We say that we are. Peter gets a powerful example of what happens when Jesus is in the boat with you. And sometimes we forget that. I'm going to say some things that seem obvious, but that have to be said. It is actually in the Book of Order, the Constitution of the Presbyterian Church USA, that all congregational meetings and all session meetings have to start with prayer. And it seems obvious, right? Like a church meeting should start with prayer and close with prayer. You know, we have to say these things like McDonald's has to say that the coffee is hot. Because somewhere along the line, we lost track of that. And so here we are, needing to say out loud that, hey, our church meeting should start and end with prayer. Because like Peter, we need to be reminded that things change when we're in the boat with Jesus. I cannot tell you how many wonderful sermons I have written that Jesus has decided were not wonderful enough to be preached. I cannot tell you how many times I have been working really hard, and Saturday night, I do not have a sermon. I got nothing. It doesn't even have to be because it's been a tumultuous, eventful week. It's just like, I got nothing. I've had my commentaries out. I've had my blank white sheet of paper on the computer screen. I've typed sentences. I've deleted sentences. I've looked for stories. I've looked for ways in. I've looked for ways out. Maybe if I can find a way out of this sermon, then I can get going. And I got nothing. And then Sunday morning, preferably before 10:30 is my preference, the sermon shows up. It just magically, divinely, hopefully, prayerfully shows up. And that's one of those reminders for us as we go through life. Having Jesus makes a difference. At one point, I was down at the prison south of town, and to get there, you go by Grange Hall Baptist Church, and I had a very Presbyterian thought when I read their sign that day. It said, "How many people will be in heaven because of you?" And my very Presbyterian self said, "None. It's not because of me, it's because of Jesus. If you are counting on me to save you, you are out of luck. I guarantee it." And I think that's one of the pieces that it gets easy to forget. It's that having Jesus changes everything. Simon Peter drops to his knees and echoes Isaiah in Isaiah's call story from this fall. "I am a sinner. I'm a sinful man. And you are something special. You are something different. You are something that changes the world." At the same time, our Presbyterian theology talks a lot about grace. Grace being an unwarranted, unearned, free gift from God that we cannot earn and we can't do anything to justify ourselves. And the response to grace is not, "Well, I guess I have to because God did something nice for me." It is a response out of gratitude. And so Peter has that moment. He has a choice in the boat to say, "Yeah, sure, we'll put out a little further. We'll try one more time. We'll see what's different now." And they haul in a lot. Well, he has a choice to go back to the shore. We all have that choice too, to respond to what God is offering us in the presence of Jesus Christ and to see what changes in our lives when we respond. They get an overwhelming amount of fish. It almost destroys both of their boats, wipes out their livelihood. It is one of those problems that we say we think we'd like to have until we have it. They go back to the shore, and Jesus gives them another invitation. "You know, if you follow me, as our hymn said, we will make you fish for souls." Now, they have just had the biggest haul of their lives. This is probably the biggest financial moment, the best day of work on the lake ever. They have the option to look at Jesus and go, "Well, how about you let us sell the fish and then we'll talk? Or how about, actually, Jesus, I'm feeling pretty good now. I'm pretty flush with fish. So I'm going to stay with this fishing gig right here. This is pretty good." They could say that. Luke tells us, and the other gospels agree, that they immediately left everything behind to follow Jesus. Everything. They left the biggest financial windfall of their lives behind to follow Jesus. They left a career. They left the family business. They left everything. everything behind. Because an encounter with Jesus is that significant, that it changes everything. It reorganizes and reorders priorities. It turns things upside down. And it is always God making the first move. What I want us to think about, both today and tomorrow and always, is how much of our effort are we counting on to bring the good news to our community? And how much are we assuming faithfully that God's effort through us will transform the world? Peter, James, John, and Andrew are going to go from here, and they are going to be some dunderheaded disciples. It's a good thing we don't know any dunderheaded disciples in the 21st century, isn't it? They are going to make big theological mistakes about who Jesus is. They're going to try to correct who Jesus says he is. They're going to be clueless at times and insightful at others. And it is because of them that we know this story. Not because of their perfection, but because of their persistence. So what I invite our 21st century disciples to do is to push back, even when we're at the end of a frustrated day, cast the nets one more time, see if having Jesus along with us changes anything or everything. And then be willing to say yes to a new life in Christ. To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen. Friends, our affirmation of faith today is from our study catechism. As such, it's kind of question and answer. This is questions 29 and 30. You guys have the bold type. What do you believe when you confess your faith in Jesus Christ as God's only Son? That Jesus Christ is a unique person who was sent to do a unique work. How do you understand the uniqueness of Jesus Christ? No one else will ever be God incarnate. No one else will ever die for the sins of the world. Only Jesus Christ is such a person. Only he could do such a work, and he, in fact, has done it. Friends, let us respond to the good news by giving of our tithes and offerings and preparing to gather our prayers together before God. Friends, now we bring our joys and our concerns together before God. As we do each week, we lift up hopes, joys, concerns, wonder, awe. One of the prayer requests coming to us this morning is that Dan Seelock's surgery on Friday was a success. They've kept him an extra night, but he and Susie are supposed to be coming home today, whatever today is in hospital discharge time. And everything has gone well in that. They thank you for your prayers for him and ask for your prayers for his continued recovery. What other joys and concerns do we have this morning? Okay, I think we're going to Suzanne first.
Jennifer will be having an MRI tomorrow, and we hope that it will shed some light on the problem that she's having with her back and her legs. They're shooting pains. Hopefully they can figure it out.
Okay, certainly. Keep that in prayer for discernment tomorrow and a safe test. Who else do we have? I think we're going to Tom and Mary.
Yeah, I've been asking for prayer for my brother-in-law, Art. He's still in care in a rehab facility. They think now that the way they're looking at it, that the MRI and whatever tests he had didn't show up, but they think that he had a stroke, and that's what caused him to fall and causes injuries. So he's doing better. They've had trouble communicating with him. My sister's been able to do FaceTime with him on the phone since she can't get into the facility because of the COVID stuff to visit with him, so that she's been able to visit with him on the phone and on FaceTime, and he's doing better little by little. He's supposed to have the neurologist is supposed to meet with him tomorrow and hopefully have some news about what's going on. Okay. Just keep him in prayers.
Will do. Mary, did you have one as well?
Yes. A prayer of Thanksgiving. I had my first of many routine maintenance yearly exams this past week, and that one turned out fine. And I have another one tomorrow, and they're going on for about 6 weeks. So just keep me in mind for that. And also, I would like to say a prayer of Thanksgiving for my deacon, who is Dan Seelock, who showed up in the middle of the week unexpected and handed me some reading material when I was having a particularly bad morning. And my therapist said, well, God sent that man there to you. So pray that Dan is doing well. And I give Thanksgiving that he has done his deacon's job so faithfully.
Certainly. We like the prayers of Thanksgiving. JJ.
Yeah, I just want to that the president would pray to him that, you know, he would make wise choices. He would make wise choices for our country.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Certainly. Who else? I see Granger waving. That's where we're going.
Last week, or 2 weeks ago, I asked for prayer for one of my former students, who's now one of my adopted children, Austin. He is still dealing with the fact that one of his best friends has been missing for over a year, and that's really hitting him hard. But now his girlfriend, who he lives with, has tested positive for COVID, and so he has continued to test negative. But also is worried about the amount of time he's going to have to be off work and all that sort of stuff, because he's actually going to have to quarantine longer than she is because of all of that. So prayers for him in that situation.
Certainly. Are there others? I am not seeing any other waving hands in the room or on the screens, so. Will you pray with me? God, we come to you this day. Sometimes we come to you as the crowd, anxious for what we've seen and heard, curious about what it is you might be doing in the world. And other times we are nearby because we've seen firsthand what you can do, what you will do, and what you have done. And so we come to you this day, praying because we know you have given wisdom in the past, and we pray for you to give wisdom in the present. We come to you knowing that you have been a healer, that it has been enough for us to reach out and grasp just the touch of your cloak. We come to you because we know that you have done the miraculous. You have done things far beyond our grasp. You have healed. You have made abundant the food. You have walked on water. You have brought us from death to newness of life. We come to you because your wisdom, your teaching have changed lives and have changed the world. We come to you because we have encountered you as Peter, James, and John encounter you. And once that has happened, it is impossible not to follow you. God, who is a very real presence in our lives, we come to you this day asking for you to continue to walk with us. Walk with us into the uncertainty of medical tests. Walk with us into recovery from medical procedures. Walk with us joyfully into good health reports. Walk with us into the uncertainty of the absence of the people we know and love. Walk with us into the isolation of quarantine. God, we come to you this day, and we know that your invitation to us is open. We pray for the wisdom to accept that invitation each and every day, that we might follow the one who is the bread of life and the cup of salvation, and who teaches us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen. Friends, as we go out into the world, part of me wants to tell you to go places where you know Jesus is going to be. The better theologian in me wants me to tell you to see Jesus in every place that you go and to make him a part of everything that you do and everything that you are. Go from here to the lakeshore. Go from here to your home. Go from the living room to the kitchen. And may you go always and ever accompanied by Christ. And having met Christ, having been transformed into one who follows, even being willing to give up the greatest haul of your life. Go and may Christ's effort in us change the world. Go and may the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us and abide with us this day and forevermore. Amen. Fellowship time.
At first, I thought she.
Let me take this off.
Hi, Ron. Didn't see you earlier.
Oh, I saw him.
How you doing, Tom?
Oh, getting by.
Getting better?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I got out and walked the yard millions of times. My gumball to pick up and picking up gumballs. I picked up about 3 huge bags of gumballs out of the front yard yesterday.
Sounds like one.
And I was tired afterwards, but I'm not feeling real sore today, so that was pretty good. I must have done the right thing doing that.
Where did Wade go?
I don't know. That's the sanctuary up there.
Yeah, I know. I wanted. Susan's gone now.
You two ladies do a good job of running all that. I do appreciate it.
Thanks.
Is Grandma Susan still there?
I don't think so.
No, I think she left. Hopefully she went to make some more bread.
Oh, there's Wade. Look, he's gone.
No, you just say it.
Yeah, Wade?
He's there.
Wade?
Yes, Miss Mary?
Did you ever decide when our planning meeting was? I know
it will Granger be a week from Monday, I believe. I had not heard back from Susan.
What's the date?
I believe it's the 1st of February.
Okay. Yeah, that would be right. Yeah. Granger, I know Granger had said the 2nd, and I said either one.
Right. It may be the 2nd, but it's not this week. It's another week. I will send an email.
Yeah, I need to get that on my schedule so it doesn't conflict with some doctor that is waiting for me.
First is a Monday.
Yeah, the 1st is a Monday. I've just got to check the emails. I had not seen back from Susan to make sure all 4 of us could
be. Can't do it on the 2nd. That's Groundhog Day.
No, Tom, there has been enough Groundhog Day this last year. I do not need any more Groundhog Day. Be done with Groundhog Day.
We got a really large groundhog living underneath our shed in the back of the parking lot there. I've seen them a number of times.
Yeah. A
couple months ago.
Yeah, we have them out in this area too. Around. Although I haven't seen them lately, I think they all got run over.
Have a good week, guys.
You too, Bill.
Okay, Bill. See ya.
Bye.
Everybody's leaving.
Now, how's your son, Judith?
He's not back at work, but he's doing well.
That's good.
I hope to go see him in April.
I found the Coast Guard very interesting service because they used to have that Coast Guard service, Coast Guard program on TV that highlighted different seacoast Coast Guard rescue units. And I always thought that was very interesting. They went into the training and everything on some of that program.
Yeah, I didn't really know much about the Coast Guard. Focus has always been on the Air Force, but I've been amazed at what they do and what kind of training that they have. It's an interesting group.
Necessary. And the least appreciated, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I wanted to put on my back deck some flags. The Air Force, the Army, the groups that the Fossey family have served over the years. And I had a heck of a time finding a Coast Guard flag.
Really?
And it should have been.
Murder.
Murder.
Yeah, some of these captions are cracking me up.
Yeah, me too.
Jesus took the boat to South Korea.
Yes, yes, I saw that. It didn't know, Caesarea. I didn't pay attention when Granger and Zach were singing in Latin, I think, last week, and I didn't pay attention to the captioning because it was coming on at last week already. And I'm interesting to see if it can caption in a foreign language.
Not too well.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah.
Well, I encourage you all to reach out to your deacons. They haven't done it yet, but they will be getting in contact with you. And whether it be on Zoom or a phone call or a text or something like that, let them know that you get their message. It's too easy for us to just sweep it under the rug. And we the deacons really want to reach out to you. We want to be your servants, your hands and your feet when you can't move it. And all of you that are hearing this that are deacons, well, I'm coming for you.
Well, my deacon showed up on my front porch.
Yes, ma'am.
My deacon showed up on my front porch when I really needed him to, and he didn't even know that. And so he's already done more.
He gets a blue ribbon for sure.
And I did.
Well, I got to go build a fire now and submit the prayer request. So I'm going to say adieu till next week. I love you guys. Have a wonderful week.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. I need to get going too.
We're going to sign off too. So see you.
See you guys later.
See you.
See you next week.
Adios. See you soon.